Isn't Christmas great? To celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be too long this morning. I just want to bring a few thoughts to you. Let's pray. Lord, we just pause and we reflect on what Christmas is all about. Lord, help us to hear from you. Help us to hear what you want to say to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. In many cultures, people will be encouraging their children to write letters to one particular guy in a red suit. In many cultures. I wonder, if you wrote a letter to God, what would you put? If you wrote a letter to God, what would you put? I'll start you off. Dear Lord. Just have a think about it for a minute. Dear Lord. If you could write a letter to God and you started it, dear Lord, what would you put? We've got a picture that's going to go up now, and many of you could possibly identify with this picture. In a world where we are seeing so much happening that there are no words to say, that it just brings tears to our eyes. This is not my picture. In fact, it's one that I think Amy shared earlier on this week, and it just fitted perfectly with what I wanted to bring today. That we see all that is happening in the world and we cry, dear Lord. And all we have in response is tears. Why do we have that? It's Christmas. Aren't we supposed to be excited? Aren't we supposed to be joyous? Aren't we supposed to be celebrating? Well, we are bombarded by the world, by imagery of a perfect world, aren't we? Imagery of a perfect family, of a perfect neighborhood, of a perfect marriage, the perfect person, the perfect gift. How many of you have been bombarded by advertisements of this is the perfect gift to give at Christmas? And then we evaluate our world and our neighborhood and our marriage and ourselves and our gift and realize that we're not perfect. You can take that photo down now, please. We realize that we're not perfect. When we value what we see that there is homelessness. We see that there's depravity and addiction and loneliness. And the list goes on. Let us not be under any disillusionment of where we live and the time we live in. We watch Christmas films and we see it portrayed as a perfect family. We see Christmas films and see all these beautiful houses and trees and everything looks lovely. Even the nativity, can I say, we make it into what it wasn't. We make it look really, really nice with children playing the parts of adults, and it weren't like this. It's not reality. We don't live in this world, the world that the world portrays on movies. Tradition says that it was Francis of Assisi that created the very first Christmas nativity scene in 1223. after a trip to the Holy Land and Christ's birthplace. Sally and I went there, and we loved it being there. I'm not sure I'd want to go back. What you see out there, it really is special. We create the nativity into a 15-minute play, make it look attractive with lovely, cute children, and as parents, we're so proud of our kids because they don't forget the lines. And yet, the reality is this is not the reality. Shepherds that would have been there would have been scruffy people that have smelt of sheep poo, that have smelt of everything. They were classed as the people that nobody wanted to be with. The wise men wouldn't have come at this time when baby Jesus was born. And we picture this lovely scene, even in church, that this is how it all happened. And yeah, elements, they did happen, but not all together like this. We visited many years ago, I'm sure some of you in Sheffield will have visited, and further afield, Totley Hall Farm, where they do a live nativity. It stinks, doesn't it? With the animals there, and the animals do what they want, and babies crying, and there's a lot of mess everywhere. When we write letters, we write to the most appropriate person that we think can help us, can change something, don't we? If we write letters because of things that are happening in our cities and towns, we write to our MPs and our government, and we even may write down to 10 Downing Street or the King because we want things changed. I wonder what is your perception of God and of Christmas and of Jesus? Is God just this old man sat on a cloud playing a harp? Is Jesus just a man that did some good things in his life on earth? Is the Holy Spirit just a cosmic being or some gas that we don't understand? Nearly 800 years before Jesus was born in a manger, in probably a cow's trough, a horrible, smelly place where animals would have done what they wanted to. 800 years before this happened, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I so want us to enjoy Christmas and enjoy the reality of what Christmas is. We can be so plagued by how the world portrays it, going out getting drunk, doing what you can, having parties around with family. But when we miss the fact that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, we lose the whole meaning of what it is, the reality of who Jesus is. So I wonder, have you ever wrote a letter to God? I'd encourage you to write a letter or to journal something and start it with, "Dear Lord." But then when we know who we're writing to, we know that he can change things because we are writing to the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Very quickly, I want to look at just those two, Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. When you look at the word wonderful, What does that mean? Well, we use the word wonderful as in, well, that was wonderful. What they did was wonderful. And we look at things and think, that is wonderful. We see flowers and say, it's wonderful. Creation is wonderful. When you look at the translation of wonderful in the Bible, it means incomprehensible. As in, it is so big, so massive, that we can't comprehend the word wonderful. And this is what Jesus is. When we come to Christmas, we are approaching somebody that is incomprehensible, but yet so approachable. Jesus demonstrated this in many ways through his life. The virgin birth. Incomprehensible. We don't understand it, do we? We read the scripture. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. I don't get it. I don't know that you do, but God says it happened. Incomprehensible. The power to heal. Jesus touched people. People touched him and they were healed. He spoke and they were healed. We speak and we speak the name of Jesus and people are healed. Incomprehensible. Jesus led a perfect life. He was resurrected from the dead and resurrected people from the dead. This is our wonderful counselor. Incomprehensible. His amazing teaching that was so countercultural in that society, and still we don't understand it now. His teaching was to, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Rejoice and be glad in persecution. We don't understand it, it's only incomprehensible, isn't it? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You see, Jesus wanted to show us a better way to live. Not the way that the world lives and it's all greed and it's all about me and take, take, take. And this is the perfect gift and you need this gift. And if you don't buy this, even at this discounted price, your life will not be the same ever again. These are the things that we get shoved down our neck all the time. That Jesus taught to love our enemies, to do good to those that hate us. He is our incomprehensible, our wonderful counselor. Our counselor. We know if you have ever been or talked to anybody and asked for some counsel or some wise advice, we know that these are great people that have an element of wisdom that is just beyond understanding. Like King Solomon was known for his wisdom. Isaiah, a bit later in chapter 28, it says, all this comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom. You need some help? Talk to God. You need some help about something that is going on? Talk to God. He is an amazing counselor. In scripture, it gives us all that we need to live our lives. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He knows us completely. He knows everything about you. He knows what's going on in the world because he knit you together in your mother's womb. He even says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So as a wonderful counselor, Jesus knows everything about you, what you're going through and will go through. Can we trust in him and follow his directions? Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He hears our prayers. In a time of celebration, and as I put on my email, there are some of you that are absolutely looking forward to Christmas. And Trish has mentioned it as well. And there are some of you that will be glad when it's all over. Because Christmas conjures up some horrible memories for some of us. Some of us are diverted by the complications of the world. But while ever we can keep Jesus the focal point, it can help us to know what Christmas is about. He is also known as Mighty God. In a time where they would create gods in their own images. They would build calves and golden calves and different things, Asherah poles, and they would do all these weird things because they weren't satisfied in waiting and seeing who God is. Even now, we create God in our own image, in our minds, don't we? Well, my God would never do this. In Deuteronomy 10:17, it says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome. He shows no partiality and accepts no bribes." When we approach God, we approach a wonderful counselor. We approach a mighty God. We approach somebody who knows everything about us. When you write to God, when you approach God, when you pray, pray like that, knowing who you are praying to. At this Christmas time, when you dive into your turkey, whatever you're doing, if you're just having a bowl of soup or you're having a sandwich, just thank God that you're able to eat something. Thank God for the house that you are living in. Thank God for the clothes that you are wearing. Thank God that we can approach the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. Nothing is too difficult for him. Amen? Amen. On Friday, as we join together, and I'm hoping you're all going to join us for the Carols by Candlelight, we're going to look at Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are awesome. You are mighty. You are wonderful. And God, we put you at the center of this Christmas. Lord, let us not be disillusioned by everything that the world throws at us or paints it to be, but let us look to your word to know the truth. Lord, help us to keep you at the center this Christmas. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.